haciendo un recuento de los actos terroristas llevados a cabo contra Cuba, tenemos los siguientes. Año 1976, una bomba es colocada en la embajada cubana de Portugal, ocasionando la muerte de dos compañeros. 6 de octubre, es destruido en pleno vuelo un avión de Cubana de Aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA y casi sin excepción las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
Cuba has been hit by numerous attacks over the course of history. In 1976, 2 bombs were detonated in a Cuban aircraft en route from Venezuela. The accident was considered as the most appalling terrorist attack in Latin America for years. Freddy Lugo, Hernan Lozano, Orlando Bosch, and Luis Posada Carriles stood trial for this attack. According to the confessions made by one of the ex-agents of the CIA, for decades, Cuba has been hit by waves of terror and panic. In the 1990s, Cuban tourist sites were the targets of frequent terrorist attacks. Back then, tourism was considered a major source of income for the island. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, one of Cuba's biggest trading partners, terrorists targeted the tourist sides of the country to create an atmosphere of mistrust and insecurity. The attacks also aimed to annul the contracts signed by Fidel Castro to boost the country's tourism industry at the time of the economic downturn in early 1990s. It was in the 1990s that a group of 5 Cuban people was dispatched to the United States to infiltrate the radical groups in Miami linked to the recent terrorist attacks.
In the past 30 years, Havana has been repeatedly hit by terrorist attacks. That's why we have come here to the city center to ask Cuban people about their living situation.
What do you remember about the attacks in the past 20 to 30 years ago?
El ataque a los hoteles de Cuba, la explosión de bomba, la explosión del barco La Cubre, que venía con armas de otros países para defender la patria, los ataques terroristas no solamente militares, sino contra los cultivos cubanos, contra la salud cubana.
Mire, cuando le metieron la bomba en los hoteles, que mataron un italiano. Todo eso.
Porque eso es lo que estaban tratando ellos de evitar, que fue que hicieran atentados, más atentados aquí en nuestro país.
Para que no hicieran terrorismo en Cuba, ni nada de eso. Ni que no pusieran bombas en los edificios, ni nada.
Que van a Estados Unidos a tratar de evitar ataques terroristas como los que hubieron en los hoteles, como en la bodeguita del medio, que fueron gente como pagada por Luis Posada Carriles, por Orlando Bosch, que le pagaban a diferentes personas, por ejemplo, salvadoreño, que hubo el caso, que fue uno de los que puso los explosivos, para ataques terroristas aquí en Cuba.
Cuba has long experienced peace and tranquility. The happy people of the country have provided unforgettable experiences for tourists who could freely travel to various parts of the country. The terrorists aimed to target the tourist sites of Cuba.
This is Bodeguada del Medio restaurant, a symbolic restaurant in the center of the city that was attacked in September 1997. Let's go inside and see what had happened. He is Nicolas, one of the restaurant staff members who was here at the time of the explosion.
We were on this floor when the terrorist attack of September 1997 took place. Let's go to the hall. Here there was a fridge in which the bomb was planted. It was a handmade bomb that apparently was placed during the day when many people gather in the restaurant. But it detonated at night. Fortunately, the bomb wasn't blown up in the morning when many people were here. Otherwise, we would face a tragedy. The bomb was placed on the next floor, and you could imagine the amount of debris that fell on this floor. It could destroy the building completely. It was a huge explosion. We were changing the shifts when the accident happened.
Were you hurt then? Or was there any permanent physical damage?
No, I wasn't hurt, but I lost my hearing for a while. The handmade bomb was planted by an experienced person. He was arrested while he was leaving the restaurant. He didn't say a word. He didn't say that he placed a bomb that could kill so many people. The main aim was to stop tourists from traveling to Cuba. All these terrorist activities took place in the country's tourist sites, such as Copacabana and Chateau Hotel. Why did the tourists launch these attacks? To discourage tourists from coming to Cuba. They wanted to create an atmosphere of terror and present Cuba as an insecure island. But we showed that this is a completely wrong idea and Cuba is still one of the safest parts of the world.
The last bomb went off in Bodeguita del Medio restaurant at about 11 p.m. But the Cuban people remained as hospitable as ever, as if nothing had happened. It was in the afternoon of September 4, 1997, that Raul Ernesto Cruz, an El Salvador citizen, planted bombs in Chateau, Triton, and Copacabana hotels. In the last case, a 32-year-old manager of an Italian company lost his life. All the hotels are located in Miramar region. We have come here to hear eyewitness accounts of the attack. The current manager of the hotel explains to us what exactly happened.
At that time, I was in charge of the hotel installations. I had gone to fix a problem in the lobby. I felt the explosion when I was going toward my workplace. First, I couldn't think of a bomb blast, but later I realized what had happened and ran toward the lobby. It was full of smoke. The bomb was placed here in the wine stand. He was decorating a palm tree. He had made the bomb in this bathroom. With a watchful eye on the barman, he had come here, sat down, and placed the bomb. He then went to El Chateau Hotel and planted a bomb there. Later, he did the same thing in Neptuno Triton Hotel.
Fabio De Selmo, a young Italian, lost his life in the blast in the lobby.
It was closed. Here, there was the entrance. Di Chelmo came inside from here and stood in this part of the hall. The bomb was planted here behind the wine stand. After the blast, Di Chelmo's body was found here.
The Copacabana Hotel keeps alive the memory of Fabio Di Chelmo for good.
We have placed this sign in commemoration of our friend, Di Chelmo.
Gustino De Selmo, Fabio's father, lives in this area. He is a World War II veteran. He has taken many trips to Cuba and created commercial opportunities for this island. Gustino recalls his memories.
Last year, before the bomb attacks on the hotels, I was in Mejila. We had a meeting with Fabio and some customers. Two bombs were planted, one in the bathroom and one on the 5th or 15th floor. I can't remember exactly. It was then I told Fabio, please be careful. I'm sure that they have started to plant bombs in all hotels.
Gustino was in his room in Copacabana Hotel when sadly his prediction came true and his son lost his life.
30 minutes after he left, I heard a huge sound. I never thought of a bomb explosion. Rather, I had the idea of a blast in the kitchen. Fabio had been killed when I was informed. He died 1 minute after the explosion when a piece of glass ripped through his artery.
Many attacks were launched, particularly in 1997. While security forces were investigating the cases, a group of five Cuban citizens was trying to put an end to all these fears by searching for those who were behind the attacks. In 1998, five Cuban citizens were arrested by the FBI and went on trial. Gerardo Hernandez and Ramon Lobanino were sentenced to 2 life imprisonment terms and 30 years imprisonment, respectively. Meanwhile, Antonio Guerrero was sentenced to 21 years and 10 months. Fernando Gonzalez will be released in February 2014 after spending 18 years in jail. Rene Gonzalez, who was released in October 2011, has to pass 3 years probation in Miami. 5 Cuban citizens who stood a 6-month trial in Florida were found guilty. They were arrested in 1998 and stood the longest trial in the history of the U.S. criminal court.
On September 12, 1998, the members of Group 5 were simultaneously arrested at about 5 a.m. They came to our house to arrest René. We were asleep in our room. Yvette was in her cradle and the little Irma was in her room. Suddenly, I heard someone knocking the door loudly. I woke René up and said, "René, they are knocking the door so loudly as if they are trying to take the door out of its place." When the door was opened, I heard the sound of footsteps as well as loud voices from the room. When I came out, I saw René was on the floor while his head was out of the apartment. They were putting handcuffs on him from behind. When they saw me, they took my arms and pushed me to the wall. They asked me to raise my hands. Then they told me to sit down on a chair in front of a table. I asked René, "What's happening here?" And he told me, "I don't know. They just asked me whether I am René Gonzalez or not, and whether I am connected to the 4 other people."
I wasn't informed at all. Fernando told me that he was an economist and also majored in law and international commercial relations. He told me that he was working with a Spanish investor who was residing in Spain. I never became suspicious of him. People often ask me whether I hadn't felt betrayed when I knew what he was doing. My answer is no, because it was a sensitive issue that could put his life as well as the lives of other people at risk. They were brought from home to a prison. Those who sparked unrest in the prison were kept on the 12th floor. But the members of Group 5 had no chance to provoke riots as they were directly sent from home to the prison. Although they are not allowed to keep prisoners on the 12th floor for more than 60 days, the Group 5 members were kept there for 17 months.
These five people were accused of espionage and committing crimes against the U.S. It was proof that they didn't commit a serious crime. Rather, they provoked fear in the society. This is the simplest definition of the crime. They were also accused of not registering their names in the Immigration Department as foreign employees. Yet the Group 5 members neither acted as the agents of a foreign country nor worked in any organization affiliated to the U.S.
The U.S. adopts dual policy on Cuba. For instance, the U.S. considered the toughest punishments for five Cuban citizens who tried to defend their country against the radical right wing of Miami. Such harsh sentences were unheard of in the history of criminal courts in the U.S. for many years. These people were not spies. Rather, they aimed to investigate the case and find out acts of the extremist right wing. Acts such as exploding aircrafts, planting bombs, and similar crimes like those committed by Posada Carriles. He freely does whatever he likes and he has been acquitted by the court. Compare this case with the light sentences of the Israeli spies who were arrested in the U.S. To put it another way, they were sent home with the Medal of Honor.
The relatives of Cuban Group 5 are supported by the whole people of Havana. They come here to participate in various events. Here is Palacio de las Convenciones, where the relatives of Group 5 took part in the closing ceremony of the 6th International Summit of Human Rights and Social Justice. Now we listen to the speech made by the Cuban Parliament Speaker, Ricardo Alarcón.
En agosto del año 2005, se produjo un hecho que enaltecía a la justicia norteamericana cuando unánimemente el panel de jueces de la Corte de Apelaciones de Atlanta, a quien se le encargó revisar este caso, lo declaró nulo, ordenó la libertad de los compañeros, declaró inválidas sus sentencias. En aquel texto, los magistrados de Atlanta, ellos afirmaron que allí el llamado juicio de Miami había sido en realidad una tormenta perfecta de prejuicios y hostilidad. Exactamente un año después, en agosto del 2006, el Pleno del Tribunal de Apelaciones de Atlanta revirtió esa decisión, la declaró nula y ordenó que algunos casos fueran revisados por errores técnicos que tenían. Eso fue resultado.
When René González was freed in October 2011, his daughters were the only people allowed to wait for him because his wife, Olga, who was deported from the U.S. after his arrest, was never granted a visa to come back to the country.
René was freed on October 7 after passing his imprisonment. Now he was on the street and had to start his probation term. The court didn't let him return to Cuba. Moreover, as per a clause in his verdict, he is not allowed to show up in the places that he frequently had gone to and meet with those who are linked to organized crime. In other words, René is always in danger. If these people become aware of his whereabouts, they may assassinate him.
Esas personas, si se pueden mover, si descubren dónde está René, pueden hacerle un atentado.
We managed to speak to Ailey, the daughter of Ramon Lebonino, who will be in prison until November 2024.
How did you react when you became aware of the issue?
I was a teenager at the time. It was shocking. Actually, it was very hard for me to see the pictures of my father posted on walls when I was walking on the streets. It was painful to hear the remarks made in forums about my father. I was asking myself, how this happened? Is my father a known figure? It was appalling that he was in prison.
Ailey managed to meet Ramon after the cumbersome procedure of being granted a visa.
I've gone there once a year since 2003. As we are Cuban, we need to apply for the U.S. visa. We have to go through a long and complicated procedure. First, we need to go to the U.S. interest section in Havana and apply for the visa. Moreover, the visa is valid for a short time and expires after one entry to the U.S. Since the time of the issue, we just have 30 days to enter the U.S. Upon return to Cuba, I immediately apply for the visa to see my father again.
Cuba has been hit by numerous attacks over the course of history. In 1976, two bombs were detonated in a Cuban aircraft en route from Venezuela. The accident was considered as the most appalling terrorist attack in Latin America for years. Freddy Lugo.
Los siguientes. Año 1976, una bomba es colocada en la embajada cubana de Portugal, ocasionando la muerte de dos compañeros. 6 de octubre.
Hernán Lozano, Orlando Bosch, and Luis Posada Carriles stood trial for this attack. According to the confessions made by one of the ex-agents of the CIA, for decades, Cuba has been hit by waves of terror and panic. In the 1990s, Cuban tourist sites were the targets of frequent terrorist attacks. Back then, tourism was considered a major source of income for the island. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, one of Cuba's biggest trading partners, terrorists targeted the tourist sites of the country to create an atmosphere of mistrust and insecurity. The attacks also aimed to annul the contracts signed by Fidel Castro to boost the country's tourism industry at the time of the economic downturn in early 1990s. It was in the 1990s that a group of five Cuban people was dispatched to the United States to infiltrate the radical groups in Miami linked to the recent terrorist attacks.
In the past 30 years, Havana has been repeatedly hit by terrorist attacks. That's why we have come here to the city center to ask Cuban people about their living situation.
Destruido en pleno vuelo un avión de cubana de aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA y casi sin excepción las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
We had an explosion and we are descending immediately. We had fire on board. Okay, civil Cubana 455. We are requesting immediately landing. Cierra la puerta, cierra la puerta. Eso es peor. Pégate abajo, afuera.
Haciendo un recuento de los actos terroristas llevados a cabo contra Cuba, tenemos los siguientes. Año 1976. una bomba es colocada en la embajada cubana de Portugal, ocasionando la muerte de dos compañeros. 6 de octubre es destruido en pleno vuelo un avión de Cubana de Aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA y casi sin excepción las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
Cuba has been hit by numerous attacks over the course of history. In 1976, two bombs were detonated in a Cuban aircraft en route from Venezuela. The accident was considered as the most appalling terrorist attack in Latin America for years. Freddy Lugo, Hernan Lozano, Orlando Bosch, and Luis Posada Carriles stood trial for this attack. According to the confessions made by one of the ex-agents of the CIA, for decades, Cuba has been hit by waves of terror and panic. In the 1990s, Cuban tourist sites were the targets of frequent terrorist attacks. Back then, tourism was considered a major source of income for the island. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, one of Cuba's biggest trading partners, terrorists targeted the tourist sites of the country to create an atmosphere of mistrust and insecurity. The attacks also aimed to annul the contracts signed by Fidel Castro to boost the country's tourism industry at the time of the economic downturn in early 1990s. It was in the 1990s that a group of five Cuban people was dispatched to the United States to infiltrate the radical groups in Miami linked to the recent terrorist attacks.
In the past 30 years, Havana has been repeatedly hit by terrorist attacks. That's why we have come here to the city center to ask Cuban people about their living situation.
What do you remember about the attacks in the past 20 to 30 years ago?
El ataque a los hoteles de Cuba, la explosión de bomba, la explosión del barco La Cubre, que venía con armas de otros países para defender la patria, los ataques terroristas no solamente militares, sino contra los cultivos cubanos, contra la salud cubana.
Mire, cuando le metieron la bomba en los hoteles, que mataron un italiano. Todo eso.
Porque eso es lo que estaban tratando ellos de evitar, que fue que hicieran atentados, más atentados aquí en nuestro país.
Para que no hicieran terrorismo en Cuba, ni nada de eso. Ni que no pusieran bombas en los edificios, ni nada.
Que van a Estados Unidos a tratar de evitar ataques terroristas como los que hubieron en los hoteles, como en la bodeguita del medio, que fueron gente como pagada por Luis Posada Carriles, por Orlando Bosch, que le pagaban a diferentes personas, por ejemplo, salvadoreño, que hubo el caso, que fue uno de los que puso los explosivos, para ataques terroristas aquí en Cuba.
In 1998, five Cuban citizens were arrested by the FBI and went on trial. Gerardo Hernandez and Ramon Labanino were sentenced to 2 life imprisonment terms and 30 years imprisonment, respectively. Meanwhile, Antonio Guerrero was sentenced to 21 years and 10 months. Fernando Gonzalez will be released in February 2014 after spending 18 years in jail. Rene Gonzalez, who was released in October 2011, has to pass 3 years probation in Miami. Five Cuban citizens who stood a 6-month trial in Florida were found guilty. They were arrested in 1998 and stood the longest trial in the history of the U.S. criminal court. We went to another part of Havana to see one of the family members of Group 5 who managed to go to the U.S. This is Magali Ruiz, the mother of Fernando Gonzalez, who led us in her house to talk about the memories of her son.
This is the original announcement posted everywhere on the day the Group 5 was arrested.
You mean the time when the news was announced in Cuba?
Yeah, in Cuba. This is the photo of Fernando in the prison yard while he was exercising. He sent his photo to us. This is the photo of a squirrel that was playing in the grass and took the attention of Fernando. And this photo is taken when I went to meet him. The photo should be taken in front of a painted wall in the prison compound. On the wall, there is a picture of a snow-capped mountain, but the color of snow is violet. I told them that it is too strange. I never seen violet or green snow. The photos are just allowed to be taken against this background to prevent revealing the truths about the prison.
Magali told us how hard it was for her to wait for her son. Fernando is the second person who awaits release.
It makes me calm when I think that Fernando will be released on February 27, 2014. Because he is a Cuban citizen, he will be sent to another prison before his return to Cuba. We know that he won't have any problems to come back to Cuba. He has to go through some legal procedures that I don't know a lot about, but I suppose they don't take a long time.
I think the arrogant U.S. has failed to recognize Cuba as a sovereign state with an independent political system far from capitalism since 1959. The system is based on social justice for all. They can't see the progress of the country that has said no to them. That's why today the U.S. has a hatred of these five people and stops short of clarifying the case even in the U.S.
Cuba continues its tireless fight. It is the country of tranquility. Every day as the sun goes down in the sky, the island awaits the return of its five children.
Fidel Castro fue quien él mismo, él en su propia persona, dio la orden de poner una bomba en ese avión.
Los cinco son presos políticos, pero más que esto, los cinco son espías confesos.
Some terrorist attacks have been launched in the U.S. against the Cubans. We will travel to Washington and London to know more about the public campaigns that have demonstrated solidarity with the Group 5. Anti-Cuba terrorism is not restricted to the Cuban island in the Caribbean Sea. In Miami, everyone who has a close relationship with Cuba will be threatened and comes under brutal attacks by anti-Fidel Castro groups. We have come to Miami to speak to some people with Cuban background and to know what they say when they hear the term terrorist. Miami, the most important city in Florida, is situated at the crossroads to the Spanish nations of Latin America. After the Cuban Revolution in 1959, more than 400,000 Cuban people immigrated to Miami. They were mainly the middle class and the wealthy, who had special privileges in the Batista regime backed up by the United States. In the 1980s, the Cuban and the U.S. government reached consensus on the issue of 150,000 Cuban asylum seekers who entered Miami via Mariel Boatlift. Hispanic Spaniards comprise 65% of this community that mainly includes the Cubans. These were the people who formed the powerhouses in the region.
Most likely, the American-Cuban community in the United States has the highest number of the representatives. They are the elected people. The community has the capacity to play its role in the public sector of the United States and to comprehend its democratic system. This is the most significant achievement that the Cuban-American could bring back home.
The office is run according to the political guidelines of the United States. It's sponsored by the White House and the federal government to spread anti-Cuba propaganda.
In the mid-1980s, the U.S. President Ronald Reagan established Radio Marti news channel for the Cuban people who have been denied full access to information. For instance, people are not informed of the time when a hurricane hits their country. This has happened before. Radio Marti has actually backed the Cuban nation and tries to convey no political messages.
But Radio Marti's internet page is full of political messages. The case was highlighted through a financial corruption case in 2006, when it was unveiled that Gerard Marti, a Radio Marti journalist, was secretly paid by the White House to write articles against the Cuban Five.
It was never proved that the United States had paid the journalists to publish those reports. Actually, there was a conflict of interest. Since a journalist of the U.S.-backed Radio Marti had another contract with Miami Herald, he had to cover the news according to specific rules. But it was never proved that this journalist was paid by the United States to spread propaganda against the Cuban Five.
Pablo Alfonso, a friend of mine, is one of the most prominent Cuban journalists who was accused of writing articles against the Cuban Five. In fact, it was the case of failure in complying with his code of conduct and had nothing to do with financial corruption. As per his contract, Miami Herald owned copyright of the articles and he was not allowed to work for other papers.
There was no litigation. Even some of the accused journalists managed to come back to their jobs in the Miami Herald. They aimed to mount a propaganda campaign in Miami, as the Cuban Five were standing trial. This is why these days political issues are widely discussed everywhere.
To me, Miami is the political hub of Hispanic Americans. It's just enough to watch the TV programs covering various political issues at national and international levels in Spanish and English. The radio channels have the same story. You may remember what happened to José Guillén. All of these issues just happened in the political hub of Miami, where people need to gain political insight.
But in Miami, there are only anti-Castro views. This political culture suppresses any statements made in support of Cuba or of Castro. As stated by Ricardo, Oswaldo Guillén, the head of the baseball team, was attacked. In an interview with The Times, he said that he had respect for Fidel Castro because of the way that he holds the reins of power, despite numerous attempts by his enemies to bring him down. Later, Guillén was denied heading the team due to these statements. He was also accused by the Miami Cuban community. Finally, to save his position, he had to offer his apology to the general public.
I need to understand the Cuban people. As I told you before, I would oppose anyone who violates the law. If I come to know that an exiled Cuban is breaking the law, I will certainly condemn him in my article.
For many decades, as a result of the media suppression and the people's lack of awareness, the laws were passed by the radical anti-Castro groups. This is proved by assassinations of the people who are linked to Cuba. The airline brokers came under the latest attack. On April 27, 2012, a bomb blast wiped out the airline's office. The explosion was reported as intentional by the fire department. Vivian Manarud, the owner of the company, explains the story.
In March, the Archbishop of Miami signed an agreement with us to plan a tour of 500 people on the occasion of the meeting between the Pope and the Archbishop. The plan included visits to Santiago and Havana churches. It could be probably the reason behind this bomb attack.
A hacked email reveals how the attack happened. Vivian said that they had been threatened before, and the incident was not unprecedented.
They attached a bomb under my car. We were six people. In another incident, a conference in Cuba on immigration came under attack. All the conference participants had to protect their houses in Florida by security guards for a month.
In the 1990s, these attacks were quite normal in Miami, weren't they?
Here, even some alleys were named after those who committed the attacks. It's hard to believe that this city is one of the cities of the United States. It's unbelievable. If you just listen to the phone calls to a radio channel as well as the statements made by the program's commentator, you will find out how they provoke violence. If you don't approve the ideas of the right-wing community of Miami with the Cuban background, you will be considered the enemies. I don't predict any roles for the extremist right-wing Cubans in the political future of Cuba.
These anti-Cuban activities carried out in the Cuban island, or in Miami, were unveiled by the Cuban Five in the 1990s. In 1998, the Cuban government delivered the results of its investigations to the U.S. government. This included a detailed report of more than 200 pages of videotape as well as recorded voices of terrorist groups in Cuba. In response to the report, the FBI arrested the Cuban Five. Since then, the events have been affected by the political atmosphere of Miami.
Versalles Restaurant is situated here in the center of Miami. The Cuban people gather here and discuss daily issues. They drink coffee and eat sandwiches, but they mostly gather here at the times of conflict and discuss the relevant issues. So we have come here to find out what they know about the Cuban Five.
The members of the Cuban Five are prisoners of conscience, but actually they are confessed spies. In a U.S. court, all the members of this group confessed spying. Later, the case was handled by saying that they were trying to defend Cuba. This is while Cuba is ruled by a dictatorial regime.
But violence is not the only means of showing hostility. Campaigns and conflicts could have provoked immediate reactions in the city. Cuba has been hit by
haciendo un recuento de los actos terroristas llevados a cabo contra Cuba, tenemos los siguientes. Año 1976, una bomba es colocada en la embajada cubana de Portugal, ocasionando la muerte de dos compañeros. 6 de octubre, es destruido en pleno vuelo un avión de Cubana de Aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA y casi sin excepción las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
An explosion and we are descending immediately. We had fire on there. Okay, Silver Cubana 455. We are requesting immediately landing. Cierra la puerta, cierra la puerta. Eso es peor. Pégate abajo, Félix, pégate abajo.
Haciendo un recuento de los actos terroristas llevados a cabo contra Cuba, tenemos los siguientes. Año 1976, una bomba es colocada en la embajada cubana de Portugal, ocasionando la muerte de dos compañeros. 6 de octubre, es destruido en pleno vuelo un avión de Cubana de Aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA y casi sin excepción las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
Silver Cubana 455, we had an explosion and we are descending immediately. We had fire on there. Okay, Silver Cubana 455, we are requesting immediately landing.
In the mid-1980s, the U.S. President Ronald Reagan established Radio Marti news channel for the Cuban people who have been denied full access to information. For instance, people are not informed of the time when a hurricane hits their country. This has happened before. Radio Marti has actually backed the Cuban nation and tries to convey no political messages. To me, Miami is the political hub of Hispanic Americans. It's just enough to watch the TV programs covering various political issues at national and international levels in Spanish and English. The radio channels have the same story. You may remember what happened to José Guillén. All of these issues just happened in the political hub of Miami, where people need to gain political insight.
But in Miami, there are only anti-Castro views. This political culture suppresses any statements made in support of Cuba or of Castro. As stated by Ricardo, Oswaldo Guillén, the head of the baseball team, was attacked. In an interview with The Times, he said that he had respect for Fidel Castro because of the way that he holds the reins of power, despite numerous attempts by his enemies to bring him down. Later, Guillén was denied heading the team due to these statements. He He was also accused by the Miami Cuban community. Finally, to save his position, he had to offer his apology to the general public.
I need to understand the Cuban people. As I told you before, I would oppose anyone who violates the law. If I come to know that an exiled Cuban is breaking the law, I will certainly condemn him in my article.
They attached a bomb under my car. We were six people. In another incident, a conference in Cuba on immigration came under attack. All the conference participants had to protect their houses in Florida by security guards for a month.
In the 1990s, these attacks were quite normal in Miami, weren't they?
Here, even some alleys were named after those who committed the attacks. It's hard to believe that this city is one of the cities of the United States. It's unbelievable. If you just listen to the phone calls to a radio channel as well as the statements made by the program's commentator, you will find out how they provoke violence. If you don't approve the ideas of the right-wing community of Miami with the Cuban background, you will be considered the enemies.
Versalles Restaurant is situated here in the center of Miami. The Cuban people gather here and discuss daily issues. They drink coffee and eat sandwiches, but they mostly gather here at the times of conflict and discuss the relevant issues. So we have come here to find out what they know about the Cuban Five. Here on the first street in a small Havana, in the center of Miami, a big placard was posted on the restaurant, Free the Cuban Five. But the placard was later removed by the Cuban people.
This placard was sponsored by Radio Miami and Martiana, the civil association of the Radio Marti's fans, one of a few organizations that posed challenges to political figures in Miami. The placard saying Free the Cuban Five called on the people to visit the internet page of the radio. Pro-Castro groups, including the famous white-dressed women, gather here in La Cubanidad Square in Miami every Friday. This is the civil association of Radio Marti's fans. We'll talk to its members later.
The civil association of the Radio Marti's fans aims to help the dissidents inside Cuba. We are proud of them. We hold demonstrations every Friday to support Cuba. We all gather here in La Cubanidad Square and voice our anger over the Cuban government, crimes and violations of human rights.
What has brought you here? Why do you come here on Fridays?
Bueno, es una manera de luchar contra Castro y expresar nuestros sentimientos hacia Cuba.
Bueno, como el nombre lo dice, es una organización cívica. Es decir, de manifestarse públicamente en la vía pública. Dedicamos todos los viernes a Cuba, de una hora de 8:30 a 9:30 de la noche, y ahí expresamos todo lo que sabemos de Cuba.
Bueno, la importancia de tener este tipo de organización es que tú expresas lo que tú sientes. Yo no vine para vivir bien aquí, yo vine para luchar por Cuba aquí.
Despliego todo el odio que siento hacia ese tirano maldito. De todos los genocidios posibles en el mundo, solamente le lleva la corona a Hitler. Después de él está Fidel Castro y después los Césares y los demás asesinos que han habido en la historia. Sé que voy a volver a Cuba libre y si no, a lo mejor voy y le corto el pescuezo porque él no tiene cuello, él tiene pescuezo porque es un animal. En fin, esos son mis sentimientos y cultivo una rosa blanca.
While we were talking to the white-dressed women, Miguel Sigler joined us to express his viewpoints.
We were in a jubilant mood when finally they were arrested and convicted. In addition to these five men, there are many more agents working as the Castro's government spies in various countries.
They were paid and sent to the US by Castro to infiltrate into the various organizations of this country. Moreover, they planned to infiltrate into the Pentagon. These claims are attested by the information obtained from their computers. That's why they were convicted of spying for the idolatrous government of Castro. Actually, they were five terrorists rather than five spies. They are to blame as one of them infiltrated into the Hermanos al Rescatate organization. They identified the flight paths of the aircrafts that delivered relief and rescue services to those who were lost in the international waters and brought them back to the US. The Cuban regime downed these aircrafts and killed their crew.
Who is Luis Posada Carriles?
Castro's government spent billions of dollars stolen from the people to mount a propaganda campaign against Luis Posada Carriles, a friend of mine. He is a man of good character. He can't hurt anyone. I know him personally. Castro has a hatred of him because he has always fought against the country's idolatrous regime. Moreover, Castro has tried to defame him at the international level. It is obvious that he isn't a terrorist. Otherwise, he would have been imprisoned in this rule-governed country.
Dentro del territorio cubano, en contra del régimen de La Habana, me responsabilizo totalmente.
He was presumably accused of involvement in the Rio incident or the bomb explosion on a Barbados plane that was carrying the Cuban athletes en route to Cuba. But the case has not been proved yet. I believe that Fidel Castro, who I hate from the bottom of my heart, planted the bomb on the plane himself.
Like the majority of the Cuban dissidents, Miguel and his wife Josefa were warmly received in the U.S. This shows the close connection between the U.S. and the Cuban dissidents.
We can't go back to the country that we have escaped from. We have to wait for the downfall of this tyrant regime that doesn't let us go to the streets and express our views. We will wait for a social blast to uproot this idolatrous government. If the US government let us return to Cuba, I will fight with Castro upon my arrival. Miguel Sigler means what he says.
Some Jewish groups in the United States back up the pro-Israeli candidates. In the American system, people vote for their candidates.
In Florida, people are intimidated against carrying any acts in support of Cuba. The U.S. government tries to maintain the political power in this state. Among the U.S. states, Florida ranks third in terms of importance and electoral status. The U.S. authorities not only turn a blind eye to the terrorists that are involved in criminal acts under the pretext of anti-Castro activities, but also support and award them.
Luis Posada Carriles was prosecuted and went on trial. All of us saw his trial. One testimony helped him narrowly escape conviction. I cannot say the sworn witness was paid to give the testimony. I think Luis Posada Carriles was released because they failed to prove the accusations leveled against him. I believe in justice in the North America and the U.S. judicial system.
In the U.S., some groups are calling for administration of justice and the release of the Cuban Five by organizing campaigns and holding demonstrations. Recently, the activists and some political figures attended a gathering in Washington under the title of 5 Days for the Cuban Five. Danny Glover, who has organized numerous campaigns for the release of the Cuban Five, was among the participants.
Is what's critical. And as we build a movement among citizens, it's not Danny Glover personally, because Danny Glover personally doesn't have a relationship with the President of the United States, but Danny Glover as a part of a movement that's building and that's growing to demand that the Cuban Five be given justice and sent home and freed. That's the movement that I'm a part of.
I said once that American political leaders simply can't behave rationally. It makes no sense. I mean, U.S.-Cuba policy makes no sense whatever.
The U.S. Constitution entitles the president to pardon the convicts. This means that the president could reduce sentences of the convicts for a certain time without overturning the court's verdict. It is a common practice in the U.S. Thus, the call for reduction of sentences of the Cuban Five.
We could secure justice for more people by means of our influence, credit, and common goal. As the people of Latin America, we call on the president to administer justice and free the Cuban Five from prison.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
Freedom!
In London, there are some organizations that try to raise awareness about the Cuban Five. A gallery in London has exhibited the paintings and drawings of Juan Antonio Guerrera and Gerardo Hernandez.
The issue of the Cuban Five has been highlighted by the concerted efforts of our friends. Some people support them and call for their release by posting placards. Such actions had been forbidden for years, but the movement has made a significant progress. Meanwhile, such a grave injustice has drawn the attention of the people all over the world to the Cuban Five.
In the exhibition, we talked to Mirta Rodriguez, Antonio Guerrera's mother, whom, despite her age, is fighting restlessly against those who treated her son unjustly.
Fight against terrorism is in human character. The Cuban Five managed to have great achievements. In the 1990s, when Cuba was hit by the brutal and vicious attacks, we didn't know how to defend ourselves. We had neither weapons nor explosive materials. They were arrested at dawn on Saturday. I think Obama has the legal power to do this. I'm sure that he'll return home. This hope gives me the motive to live, and I can't abandon it. I'll wait until the end of his term of imprisonment, even if he is sentenced to 2 life imprisonment terms. We cherish this hope forever, and we know that the situation will change for the better.
Tenemos siempre que mantener esa fe y esa esperanza de que algo tiene que ocurrir.
In London, we talked to Adriana Perez, Gerardo's wife. Gerardo is the only member of the Cuban Five who has been sentenced to life imprisonment. He has just met his wife, Adriana, for the first time since his arrest in 1998.
Gerardo y yo no nos hemos podido ver.
Geraldo and I hadn't seen each other for 14 years. The U.S. didn't give me the visa. It was like torture for me. It's so hard to be far from the one who you love and is everything for you because you are not given the visa to meet him. I have the absolute right to meet my husband. Once the U.S. authorities told me that I was denied visa for security concerns. Next time that I managed to go to the U.S., I was planning to meet the heads of the terrorist organizations. This means that they themselves accept the existence of these organizations in the U.S.
Porque de lo contrario, porque tendrían que tener temor. La prensa de Miami jugó un papel muy intenso.
The media played a crucial role in creating a hostile atmosphere and spreading propaganda while the Cuban Five were on trial. They did their best to divert the attention of the international community from the Cuban Five, and they succeeded to do that. Although it took a long time to inform the general public of our viewpoints, the situation has gradually changed. Now we are supported not only by our relatives and friends, but also by the public and private sector organizations and governments. Today, President Obama is the only person who can free these men. We try to convey our message to him, but the U.S. has always adopted a discriminatory policy and makes false claims about the fight against terrorism. The U.S. has hatred for these men and is powerless to deal with them. We call for clarification of the truth, even if it takes many years. The Cuban nation always sticks truth, and they are proud of the Cuban Five.
The case of the Cuban Five is 14 years old now. Since the Cuban Revolution, the island has dealt with the issue of anti-Cuban terrorism at national and international levels. The Cuban nation could be viewed in various ways, but terrorism has just one definition.
De cubana de aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA y casi sin excepción las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
In the mid-1980s, the U.S. President Ronald Reagan established Radio Marti news channel for the Cuban people who have been denied full access to information. For instance, people are not informed of the time when a hurricane hits their country. This has happened before. Radio Marti has actually backed the Cuban nation and tries to convey no political messages.
Donde se evita.
To me,
contra Cuba, tenemos los siguientes. Año 1976, una bomba es colocada en la embajada.
Miami is the political hub of Hispanic Americans. It's just enough to watch the TV programs covering various political issues at national and international levels in Spanish and English. The radio channels have the same story. You may remember what happened to José Guillén. All of these issues just happened in the political hub of Miami, where people need to gain political insight.
But in Miami, there are only anti-Castro views. This political culture suppresses any statements made in support of Cuba or of Castro.